But when the time had fully come, or at exactly the right time, as it is literally translated, God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him, God sent Jesus to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And so the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This, friends, this is how God showed his love among us, writes the Apostle John. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is the Christmas story. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning as a follower of Jesus, the Christmas story has become uniquely your story, hasn't it? In humility, with a heart full of wonder at the love and mercy of God, right along with the Apostle Paul, you and I, we together can declare, here is a trustworthy saying, one that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Surely we can get an amen out of that, right? So, follower of Jesus, how is the Christmas story your story? How is the Christmas story influencing your thinking? How is it shaping your living? Put another way, what are you doing with the Christmas story? This morning we're going to take a far too brief look at, and I trust learn from together, what one group did with the Christmas story. And it's been my prayer, Pastor Jason's prayer, that what we can learn from their example will inform our thinking and give direction to our living. So toward that end, you have received a bulletin, please pull out the green insert. That's going to be the basis of our scripture consideration this morning. It's entitled The Gospel of Luke, Chapter 2. I encourage you now to follow along with me, please, as I read Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. The shepherds heard the angel's message. They went and they checked it out. And then, having seen for themselves that what the angel had said was indeed true, did you notice what the shepherds did with what we call the Christmas story? Notice verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. This morning we're going to begin, and I emphasize begin, to see what we can learn from the shepherds about the message they heard and the word that they spread. I want to start by briefly refreshing ourselves with the nature of the message that the shepherds heard. And in chapter 2, verse 10, we read, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Today, said the angels to the shepherds, today, in extraordinarily hard economic times, today, in a time of Roman occupation and oppression from their own religious leaders, today, at exactly the right time in history, according to the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Testifying to the saving work of God through an adult, Jesus Christ, a former violent persecutor of those who put their trust in the message of Jesus as the Messiah, writes this: "God made him who had no sin, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Jesus Christ we could become the very righteousness of God. Therefore, if anyone," and you need to underline that word anyone, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come." Full forgiveness. Getting in step with how you were and who you were created to be. God's righteousness, God's very righteousness now is your own righteousness. If we are in Christ, this and more, friends, is our portion now. And there's more, isn't there? Remember that in Jesus, we've been given not only a Savior. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you heard it from Jason earlier, nearly a millennia before Jesus became God incarnate, Isaiah the prophet declared it. In Jesus Christ, we have the Lord. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, proclaimed Isaiah. The Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of His government, there will be no end. Jesus Himself will reign on David's throne and His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The very zeal of God, the zeal of the Almighty One, will accomplish this. So for you and me who follow Jesus, it doesn't end with His incarnation. It doesn't stop with His cross. Even with His resurrection, it's not over. You and me, we're anticipating a second advent, and strengthened not by wishful thinking, but by hope that will not disappoint, the one hope that will never disappoint. You and me, we're living in this world, and we're looking. We're looking for the return of Jesus, and we're doing all we can to hasten that great and terrible day when, with the loud trumpet call of God, with the voice of the archangel, with a loud command, Jesus Himself will return and do what? Visibly establish His kingdom for all to see. "Then I saw," said John, "then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw," declares John, "the holy city, the new Jerusalem." And then John goes on to say this: I heard a loud voice, a voice from the throne saying, "Look, look, God's dwelling place is now with His people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and they will be His God. And God Himself will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more dealing with sin and temptation. For the old order of things has passed away. Behold," says the resurrected Lord Jesus, "I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what they have done." Good news, friends. Good news of great joy. Good news of such great joy that you need to break out your happy dance. Christ our Lord the King, He is coming. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. There's a second part of the message the shepherds heard that we need to see afresh this morning. I'm reading now from verse 10 on your insert, Luke chapter 2. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I will bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Friends, three times the angel tells the shepherds that not only is Christ the Lord, the Savior of all, He is the Savior and Lord for all. 2 verse 10, "I bring you great news," or "good news of great joy that will be for all people." 2 verse 11, "A Savior has been born to you." This was a son not born to one family for one family. No, Jesus is the son born to one family for the world. And then this, in 2 verse 12, we read, "This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Friends, this sign wasn't given to the shepherds simply so they could find the right baby in Bethlehem. This sign to the shepherds was designed to convey a twofold message. I'll share one of them with you this morning. In that time and culture, a new baby who was born and wrapped in cloths meant that it was a child born at the very best, to working class people. One Middle Eastern scholar has said that an infant wrapped in strips of cloth indicated that it was a baby born into the home of a peasant. So for the shepherds, men whose occupation was vital to the welfare of the people, but men whose jobs automatically put them in a lower social class and outside the circle of what we would call respectability, this sign would mean that Christ the Lord truly was for all people. This, friends, this is the good news of great joy that the angel shared with the shepherds. Jesus is the Savior of all, for all. And you know what, friends? As the shepherds went on to share the good news, their focus wasn't on the encounter with an angel. They didn't emphasize the heavenly host singing or the great light shining. On this, Dr. Luke is very specific. Notice again verse 17. "When they," that is the shepherds, "when they had seen him, they spread the word," how? "Concerning what they had been told," or what had been told them, rather, "about this child." The shepherd's message was not about the signs and wonders surrounding Jesus. The shepherd's message was all about Jesus. Jesus the Savior. Jesus the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. What's the focus of your message when you share with those who don't know Jesus? Is it Jesus? Jesus the Savior? Jesus the Lord? Or if you're real honest with yourself, do you find yourself more often talking about other lesser things, trying to be hip, trying to be cool, trying to be relevant, and not really saying anything about Jesus at all? Perhaps there's a more fundamental question that we need to ask ourselves this morning. Are we sharing the good news? Are we having conversations about Jesus with people who don't know Jesus? When they had seen him, they spread the word. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. What say you, Kim Bauer? How about you? Are we talking to people about Jesus, people who don't know Jesus? Are we sharing the good news? There's something else about what these shepherds did with the good news and it deeply challenges me. Nowhere in our narrative do we read that the shepherds are told to go and share the good news. To, as Luke writes, spread the word. The angel doesn't command it. The heavenly hosts don't exhort them to do it. Don't take my word for it. This is the NIV here. Check it out in the Pew Bible. I'll give you a minute. Once they checked things out and discovered that the angel was telling the truth, the shepherds were so gripped by the message, they got up, they left, and they started spreading the word. As a matter of fact, in the original language, the grammar here in verse 17 indicates something. It indicates that the shepherds rushed out from the presence of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. You see, friends, the shepherds were in a hurry to let others in on what they knew. How is it with you, follower of Jesus? Does the Christmas story, your story, about a Savior and Lord for all, a Savior and Lord for you, does it grip you? Does it grab hold of your soul in the way it did the shepherds? Like the shepherds, are you in a hurry to let others in on what you know? It was just before midnight on Christmas Eve, 1978. I was sitting in the balcony, actually, of a packed church for a Christmas Eve communion service. I was 20 years old. Don't take time to do the math. I'm old, okay? I was 20 years old. And it was my first Christmas as a follower of Jesus. I was crying as I received the bread and the cup. I was crying because in my mind's eye, I was seeing the faces of those seven people who, while I was so very lost, shared what they knew with me about the good news. Filled with thanksgiving to God, I was crying over what God in Jesus Christ, through the witness of others, had given me. They gave me life, friends. They gave me life. The message they shared gave me purposeful, hope-fueled, eternal life. So on this Christmas Day, 2016, let's resolve to learn from this group of men who were considered outside the circle of respectability. Let's allow the wonder of a Savior and Lord born for all, for us, to just sink down deep into the center of who we are. And let's be sure that when we're sharing, Jesus is at the center of the message. And friends, let's be in a hurry to let others in on what we know. For as it is written, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news.